We are studying the Beatitudes of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 on the Let the Bible Speak program, and I'm glad that you've joined us this morning. Thank you for being with us, and I'm encouraged that you are interested in Bible study and hearing what God's Word has to say for your life. Thank you for being with us. The Beatitudes, attitudes that allow us to be what God wants us to be. The word Makarios translated blessed or happy. How can we have a blessed or happy relationship with God and others around us? It's not tied to anything material. When you read the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12, you don't read about money or things or cars or houses or boats or hobbies or expensive vacations or large savings accounts. What you read is a series of attitudes and actions that make us right with God, and therein we are truly happy and blessed. We've already looked at blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek, and blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. We want to continue our study this morning by looking at blessed are the merciful and blessed are the pure in heart. When you take the Beatitudes as a whole, you find that the first four Beatitudes deal primarily with our relationship with God. What attitude do we have toward God? Are we poor in spirit? Are we humble in the sight of God? That we recognize our humility and His greatness. We have a selfless attitude where we recognize that we need God's help. Number two, those that mourn over their sin, they recognize that sin is a travesty against God. It's a terrible thing to violate God's law. And I'm mourning and weeping and crying over the fact that I have fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I've not lived up to the glorious expectation and nature that God wants for me. I've fallen short of that, and I'm mourning over that. Number three, blessed are the meek, meaning submissive to God's word and will. I'm not proud. I'm submissive toward God. And then last of all, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, not their own personal self-righteousness, but God's righteousness that is revealed in the gospel, how that we can be right with God. And so number four, seeking God's solution for sin. So we're selfless. We recognize the gravity of sin, submissive to God, and the solution for the sin problem is to come and be right with God. So the first four deal primarily with our relationship with God. The last four Beatitudes deal primarily with our relationship to our fellow man. Do we have mercy toward them? Are we pure in heart? Are we peacemakers? And when we're persecuted, do we bear up under that and keep being faithful? So let's look this morning at the merciful and the pure in heart. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Who are the merciful? Well, the word from which this is translated, the Greek word mercy, is an outward manifestation of pity. We have pity toward those around us, and we want to show goodwill toward them. They might be someone in a miserable situation or an afflicted situation, and we have compassion on them. They might be in some unfortunate situation or a needy situation. We've had people that have been damaged and hurt by recent hurricanes in Florida, and then the one coming up toward North Carolina, affecting a lot of people. We hear about that and we're moved to do something about that. And one of the big understandings of this word mercy is not just a thought, but it moves us to action. It involves goodwill, action. And so mercy is needed toward our fellow man. God is merciful to all mankind. Many passages in the Bible speak of God's mercy. The sending of his Son to die on the cross showed God's mercy. Ephesians 2:4 and Titus 3:5, 1 Peter 1:3. God is merciful. He looks down at the situation of man, not just the sin situation, but other situations. It could be national situations, political situations. It could be natural disasters like hurricanes and flooding and fires and earthquakes and other kinds of things. God looks down in mercy and cares for his creation, cares for mankind, and especially so in saving mankind from sin. God is merciful. Jesus is merciful. There are different passages that teach that Jesus is merciful. And he loved his brethren and cared for his own brethren, the human part of him. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17, he came to give help to his own brethren. Why? The Hebrew writer says he is a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. What did that cause him to do? To make propitiation for the sins of the people. So God is merciful, Jesus is merciful, and of course we need to be as well. One of the greatest acts of mercy that I can think of in the New Testament to illustrate this matter is what we call the parable of the Good Samaritan, where when a lawyer came and tried Jesus and asked him, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus said, "I'll tell you who your neighbor is. Your neighbor is the person who you are willing to go help in difficult circumstances." And so he talks about this priest and Levite that were coming down from Jerusalem, and they passed by this man that had been robbed. And these two religious people, a Jewish priest, a Jewish Levite, they walk by on the other side. They just walk around him. But this Samaritan comes, whom the Jews did not like. But this Samaritan comes and takes time to care for the man, to bind up his wounds and to even take him along with his journey and check him into an inn where he can get some food and something to eat and some care. And he even paid the bill. When the Good Samaritan came by, in Luke 10:33, the text says, when he saw this man that had been beaten and robbed, he was moved with compassion. And then Jesus asked the man, this lawyer, "Which one do you think proved to be a neighbor, the priest, the Levite, or the Good Samaritan?" And the man said, "He that showed mercy on him." And that's true. And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." Don't just think about it. Go do it. First of all, notice a few things about mercy here. First of all, it's universal. It's to be toward anyone. Here's a Samaritan caring for this man. He didn't say, "Well, what color is he and where does he come from?" He just cared for him. We need to be merciful to anyone. It was selfless. He was willing to stop and take a moment and even give of his own possessions, the oil and wine to pour on the wounds, and his own beast and his own money to care for the man. Number three, it was personal. He stopped and did it himself. He didn't say, "Well, somebody else needs to be doing this." It's unlimited. In verse 35, he said, "Take care of the man," to the innkeeper, "and whatever you spend more, I will repay you." Put it on my tab, in other words. And it is something that was actualized in good deeds. This man did something, and Jesus said, "Go and do." It's universal. It's selfless. It's personal. It's unlimited. It's actualized in action. Friends, we need to have this feeling of pity toward our fellow man. And it shows itself in deeds of kindness. It's not just theoretical. It's not just hypothetical. It's not just something that we mull around in our mind, but we're actually going to dig into our pockets, if it's money, or volunteer our time to help. Deeds of kindness. The same basic word translated mercy. In that same family of words, there is the word alms or charity. In other words, actual deeds of giving and care toward others. It's also, not only is it deeds of kindness, but number two, it's compassion in judgment. We will not receive mercy in the judgment day if we do not show mercy to those around us. We don't condone sin and overlook sin and turn a blind eye towards sin. It's not that. But when someone needs us to show them some compassion and forgiveness and help, we need to be willing to do that. Judgment is without mercy to him that has showed no mercy. Mercy glories against judgment, James 2:13. And so number two, compassion in our judgments with others. And number three, a willingness to forgive. In Matthew chapter 18, 21 through 35, the parable of a king who brought forth his servants, and he was forgiving toward them. When Peter asked, "How many times should I forgive my brother?" Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who made a reckoning with his servants. And one of them was an unforgiving servant." And Jesus teaches that we need to be forgiving. And verse 33, "Should not you have also had mercy on thy fellow servant, even as I had mercy on thee?" So the king or the Lord was merciful, but not the servant to his fellow servants. So he concludes, "If you, my heavenly Father, so shall my heavenly Father do unto you, if you forgive not everyone his brother from your hearts." So, mercy. And we have received it from God. We need to show it to others. Mercy that has been already received in the past from God should be an example for us to show mercy in the future to our fellow man. God desires that we be merciful, not hardened. Some of the Pharisees and scribes and lawyers of Jesus' day had become hardened. They thought that they were religious, but they had become hardened. And so Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." They shall obtain mercy in the judgment day by God. When we're showing mercy now, then we can show, be shown mercy in the judgment day. And we may very well need that very much so in the judgment day for ourselves. And so we need to be showing that to others now. Deal with others the way God deals with us. And when we are the recipients of what God gives us, turn around and give that very thing to others. Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew 23:23, they would tithe mint, anise, and cumin, but they had left undone the weightier matters of the law, and one of those was mercy. You tithe mint, anise, and cumin, and have left undone the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These ought you to have done and not left the other undone. And so, as a religious person, it's easy to be caught up in our own belief system of how we think we're right with God and we're actually leaving undone things that need to be done. Friend, God is merciful to us now. He's given us the gospel. He's given us time to obey it and be baptized into Christ. Let us not allow that mercy to run out. One day that mercy will run out. One day there will no longer be an opportunity to obey the gospel, and it will be gone. So take advantage of the mercy of God now, and then go out and be merciful to others. Jesus follows this one with the statement, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Again, we're looking at our attitude toward our fellow man. So, number one, be merciful to our fellow man. Number two, when we have interactions with others around us, we need to be pure. This is not talking about our outward body or skin being cleaned by washing our hands or taking a bath. It's pure in heart. We're talking about inward purity. We're talking about the heart of man. And it's okay to wash our hands. I do that regularly. It's okay to stay clean and have good personal outward hygiene, but how is your inward purity, friend? Jesus said, pure of heart. What is the heart? It's not the physical muscle inside your chest that is pumping blood. Jesus is talking about the heart of man when he talks about his mind, the willpower, the emotions, his thoughts, his desires, his purposes. These must be pure and clean. We're talking about a man who is blessed because of his inward, moral, pure character. His thoughts are pure. Purity of heart. A lot of people have regular personal hygiene routines that they do each day to stay clean. Is inward purity on that list? Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We need to be clean and clear. The word translated pure literally means unmixed. We're not mixed with sin. We're not mixed with worldliness. Think of pure water that is not mixed with something else. Think of certain ingredients that might go into a recipe that you have. Some of the ingredients that we use, sometimes it'll say pure vanilla extract, something that is not mixed with something else. Friends, a purity of heart involves moral cleanness. Sin has been removed from our heart and our conscience. And so purity. Purity is used in the New Testament for an erring Christian who has their sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb, and they are pure and white and clean. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, for example, we need to be pure. Jesus died so that we could be pure. Titus 2:14, who gave himself that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good works. You need to be purified from sin, friends. And sin is washed away in baptism, Acts 22:16. But even the Christian, if sin comes back into their life, they need to be pure, not by being baptized again, but by praying to God and repenting of their sins. James says in James chapter 4 and verse 8, cleanse your hands, you sinners. He's talking about brethren who have sin in their life. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. So we've got to get sin out of our life. even after we've become a Christian. And so we need to be unmixed. That's difficult, but it can be done, to have this pure, clean, and clear approach toward the world around us. It doesn't mean that we think we're better than others. It doesn't mean that we physically don't go around. We just lock ourselves in our home. But when we're out and about, we control our mind, what we see and what we hear. Jesus talks about guard your hearing, guard what you see, so that our heart is pure at all times. Purity of heart involves a total and single-minded consecration, unmixed. In other words, serving the Lord only. This comes up especially in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, where Paul, writing to Timothy, for example, talks about in 1 Timothy 1:5, the end of this charge is love out of a pure heart and a good conscience, and faith unfeigned, or not hypocritical, sincere faith. This pure heart and good conscience, we're talking about single-minded consecration and devotion to God. Friends, do you have that in your life, or is your heart mixed with all kinds of sin and worldliness and human philosophies and bad things? We've got to have a pure heart. Our heart controls our outward actions. That's why it's so important. Purity of heart leads to purity of action. Dirtiness of heart leads to dirty actions. The proverb writer writes in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart are the issues of life. Jesus said basically the same thing in Matthew 15:19, that out of the heart, from within, comes all kinds of outward actions. So we have to keep a pure heart. Well, somebody says, well, how do you do that? Well, think about some things in the Word of God that are described as clean. John 15:3, the Word of God is clean. The Word of God is pure. That's also mentioned in Psalm 19. Somebody says, well, how do I have a pure heart? Well, it's pretty simple. Put the pure Word of God into your heart, and it'll make you have a pure heart. If you put pure things in, your heart will be pure. So the Word of God, for example, is pure. In Psalm 19, in a description of the Word of God, the commandments of Jehovah are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Jehovah is clean, enduring forever. Put the pure Word of God in your heart, and you'll have a pure heart. Number two, have pure eyes. Look at only that which is right and good. The lamp of the body is the eye, Jesus said in Matthew 6:22 through 23. And he says that we can have a clean heart, but it's going to take looking at clean things. If thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness? What are you looking at? Are you looking at what is light and truth and purity? Or are you looking at darkness, sin, and worldliness? Number three, if you'll be around pure associations and friends, that will keep your heart pure. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And he had just talked about, come out from people who are worldly. Don't be a part of worldly people. And you can be clean from all defilement. Pure associations. Number four, pure thoughts. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, one of the things that Paul says to think on is that which is pure. that which is clean. And then last of all, number 5, James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. So the pure word of God, our pure eyes, what we look at, pure associations and friends, pure thoughts, and a pure religion that is based upon the Word of God, these things will make a pure heart. It's just that simple. Purity in causes there to be purity in the heart. Impurity in causes impurity in the heart. And you control that, friend, and I control that. What goes in comes out. Input, output. So, purity of heart. And then Jesus said, each of these Beatitudes is followed by a promise that the purity in heart shall see God. See here is used in the sense of experience God. We see God now in our life now as we experience God's blessings and God's fellowship. Another way to understand this, Jesus talks about when he was talking with Nicodemus. He said that except you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Not talking about with your physical eyes, but with your experience. You will experience the word of God. You will experience the kingdom of God. We experience God's blessings when we are pure of heart. The blessing of answered prayer and the blessing of forgiveness of sins. And then one day we will see God, 1 John 3:2, we will see Christ, we will see God, Revelation 22:4, we will be around his throne in heaven. But we can see and experience God now, and we can see and experience God in heaven. But it has to be because we have purity of heart. Is it time for a heart checkup? Do you need to have your heart examined? Only the pure of heart can dwell with God in this life and in the life to come. Friends, we have to be merciful to others around us. That means showing care and compassion, selfless care and compassion, if we want to receive mercy in the judgment day. And we have to be pure in heart. We have to clean up. Sometimes there'll be a cleanup campaign around Montgomery County, and you'll see people out on the side of the road cleaning up. We need to join God's cleanup campaign, if you will, and make sure that our heart is clean and pure. Beatitudes. Attitudes that we need to have in order to be right with God. Not based upon the material, but on the spiritual principles laid down in the Word of God. I'm so glad that you've joined us today, and if you need to make some changes, let me help you to do that. Thank you for being with us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.